We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I'm talking it up, sure, but I'm still Matt Kolsky, not, you know, Steph Curry.
But now you're saying you helped book this guest?
Not at all. I did nothing.
Okay, that's honesty. I appreciate. Ray, did you have anything to do with helping book this guest? I can't imagine you'd lift a finger in this direction.
Oh, I did less than Kolsky did.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Means a lot. So I've been given some, not clues, but hints. Ray insinuated this was a woman coming on. I've been just assuming
or did
it would
he?
Be. Yeah, maybe that's a little distraction. Maybe you're just, you know, zigging when we should be zagging. I'm going to say Calbert Chaney or Keith Smart. Something to pick up the Indiana happiness in me. We were just talking about Indiana. I'm thinking both of those are absolutely at our speed level available.
Okay, all right. Hold on. No more guesses. The guess line is closed, and let's go to producer Nash Solomon with more.
All right, Damon, we knew it was a big day for you, your birthday, and we were trying to think, what is the best gift we can get for Damon Bruce? And this morning, me and our program director, Matt Nahegan, have been scrambling all day who we can get, and, you know, we had to settle with one guy that you might be a little happy with, probably the biggest guy in Indiana Hoosier history, three-time Big Ten Coach of the Year, that's right, Damon, and guess what, the 1986-1987 Naismith Coach of the Year, Coach Bobby Knight is here to wish you a very happy birthday, Damon.
Get out of here.
Coach Knight, are you there?
Yes, I am.
That really does sound like Bob Knight. Is this Coach Knight?
I don't know how he signs, but it's me.
Wow. Coach Bob Knight is on with me on my birthday. Coach, thank you very much for joining us. Can I just start by saying it was nice seeing you back in Bloomington. That was a long time coming. It was nice to see that happen.
Well, yes, I was appreciative of that. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
This is, I can't believe it. Bob Knight. So, Coach, I was in the last ever coaching of basketball class that you taught at IU. And you had two rules for your class. I can prove to you that I was in there. Rule number one was if you showed up late once, you failed. If you wore a hat to class once, you failed. And we kept a notebook, and you graded us on our notebook, and you gave me a B. I appreciate it.
Well, that's the way I did things.
I appreciate it. It's so great to have a chance to talk to you. As we are sitting around missing March Madness and the NCAA tournament, how much does it hurt your heart to not see the tournament this time of year?
What tournament are you talking about?
The NCAA tournament.
I'd just as soon go fishing.
Oh, come on. You must have some love for the game that makes you miss it a little, right?
No, I don't miss it a bit.
Well, I'm surprised by that. Who is the best player?
I can't help that, but that's how I feel.
I appreciate your honesty.
I told my wife that we were going on no more airplane trips. Goodbye.
Stay off the airplane. Are you practicing social distancing, Coach?
No. I just didn't have any interest in continuing to coach.
Oh, well, yeah. When we were talking about the coronavirus that we're in right now, when it comes to your career, who is the singular greatest player you ever coached?
That's unfair because I had a lot of really good players, and they all were very great contributors to the fact that we won.
Can I tell you who one of my favorite was?
You do whatever you want to do.
Calbert Chaney.
Calbert Chaney was a heck of a player.
I can't believe that Bob Knight is joining me here on a birthday show. I'm flabbergasted. I always say, if anyone wants to read a great book, read Season on the Brink. But you're not a fan of the book, are you?
I don't know whether I think I read a little bit of it.
Oh, man. When there's no sports on, Coach, what do you do to entertain yourself?
What do I do to entertain myself? I just walk a little bit and do a little exercising. That's about it.
When's the last time you went on a grouse hunt?
Oh, I haven't been on a hunt in quite a while.
You are a vivacious reader. While we are all quarantined inside, can you recommend a book or two for us to read? And it doesn't have to be on sports at all. It can be whatever you want. A good book recommendation, Coach.
Well, I don't know how many books I've got here. Here's a great book, maybe as good a book as I've ever read. It's called Duty, Honor, Victory, America's Athletes in World War II by Gary Bloomfield. And it is a great book, tremendous write, that you're kind of listening to it. It shows during World War II how many athletes immediately left what they were doing and joined the armed forces to participate in World War II.
Coach, looking back on your career, how proud are you of the gold medal you won in 84?
Well, I'm proud of the people that taught me. I had a lot of good people that I worked with and learned a lot of things from some people.
Did you enjoy cutting Charles Barkley from the team because he made fun of your shoes one day?
Well, I don't enjoy saying anything to Charles for that. I don't even remember that.
No, well, it's a famous story from the Olympics where you guys demanded it happened in Bloomington, and I guess he was one of the final cuts from that Olympic roster. There's another famous story about Jordan. You yelled at Michael Jordan that he wasn't setting enough screens on a game where he was just taking over, and he said, "Coach, I'm setting him so fast you can't even see him." Did that happen?
I think that might have happened.
Well, I tell you, this is a memorable birthday, Coach. Thank you very much. It was good to see you back in Bloomington. I hope that brought you some joy and a little closure. And thank you very much for joining me. This really touched me. I appreciate it, sir.
Well, I'm glad you've had a nice day.
Hey, as an Indiana graduate, you cannot get a better phone call than from Bob Knight, the general. Thank you very much, Coach. Wow. Wow. All right, fellas, I'm impressed. I really am. I really, really am. Bob Knight here. I did not expect it to go that big, that high. When I said, yeah, it's going to be Knight earlier, I was just joking. I was stunned.
Shout out to Matt Nahigian, who obviously made that happen, since clearly it wasn't any of us.
Man, thank you very much, Matt. Now, I might have warned you that Coach has really, really, really slowed down in the last few years. And, man, I think we all just heard that interview. There was not a lot going on there originally, but then he warmed up to it. Yeah, he started speeding up just a little. You get anyone from that generation talking about World War II, you're going to get them moving. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. Well, I mean, part of him is, he does have that sort of odd military background. Mike Krzyzewski, who was, one of his acolytes, became the coach at Army. So, yeah, no, I think, at that age, I think a lot of those things resonate. One of his most important mentors, Fred Taylor, who coached at Ohio State when he when he when Knight played there, you know, was very connected to that. So absolutely. By the way, I just wanted you to know that when they started talking about this, I recommended Joe B. Hall.
Can I tell you something that I don't want to cheapen the experience you just had? But the first text that I received for I just received a text from our program director, Matt Nahigian, who says actually Nash did all the hard work.
Nash, awesome job, man. Thank you very much.
Of course, Damon.
You know,
but let me read to you, Damon. Let me read to you the first text I received this morning when I woke up from our program director. It says, if I was going to try to get someone from Fish on to surprise Damon for his birthday, do you think Trey Anastasio would be good?
FYI, the phone kept ringing, was apparently the wrong number. Then I called another number, and it was an old lady in Brooklyn yelling at me saying, never call her again.
Okay, very nice. Wow.
Well, that's because you'd called her 8 or 9 times.
Well, it was a few different numbers.
So, I mean, like, I got to be, like, so this is so complicated. So Bobby and I are, like, that's a guy who I absolutely loved, and then I watched him turn his back on IU, and I turned my back on him, and I've had a lot of Bobby Knight resentment in my life, and I need another sip of this cocktail right now. Hold on. him going to Texas Tech pissed me off royally, and I get it. And then when he didn't come back to honor the 76 team, I was furious. Because he was Mr. Let me tell you, that's not about us. It's about the little old lady who's watching in Goshen, Indiana, and she's knitting, and we're all she has in the winter. And I felt that he betrayed so much of everything that he preached. And then when he came back to Bloomington, I just thought, man, closure, we need it. It's time to move on. But then you put him in front of me, man, and all of my, like, goofy Hoosier memories come back to me, and I was told in my ear that we had a very short amount of time with Coach. 7 minutes was the most we could have. And, guys, thank you very, very much. This is so you just totally messed with me, my entire emotions for the rest of the show. I'm going to be useless the rest of the show. Honey, grab that bowl for me. Today's the day we're smoking weed on the air. It doesn't matter anymore. Good Lord. Bob Knight.
I'm glad it went over that well.
When I was in that coaching of basketball, I worked up my gumption to ask him one question at the end. He's like, all right, anyone have any final questions? And I raised my hand and I said, Coach, not all of us can do what we want to do for the rest of our lives. Will you have any input on who the next coach of Indiana will be? And he looked at me and he said, who do you think you are, Bob effing Costas? Except he didn't say effing, he said it. And he chewed me out for asking a question. And then he said, and now I totally believe him, I really don't give a crap. and him not giving a crap, it kind of defines him now.
Oh, no, it's very much on brand.
It really, really, really is. All right. So I was going to pivot to Eric Dickerson talking about the new Rams logo, but I really don't care. What do you guys want to talk about? You want to talk about the Hoosiers? You want to talk about A.J. Moye and Dane Fife shocking Duke in a Sweet 16 a little while ago? What do you want to do? Go Hoosiers!
I think you should share that with your wife because I think really enjoy it, especially around hour 8.
Honey, would you run upstairs and get my candy stripe pants, please? No, you don't have to do it. It's a radio show.
Now, here's the question is, do you have any DVD players in the house to watch your old Indiana Highlights DVDs?
So what I have on my DVR, and I've refused to upgrade my DirecTV DVR just because I got the watch shot when we beat Kentucky on that. And even though that was Tom Crean, it still meant a lot. Oh, my gosh.
This is bordering on diabetic.
It is. It is. All right, Ray. So take us away. Take us out. Take me out of my Bob Knight overdose.
Okay, I'll be happy to. Our next guest will be indeed Joe B. Hall.
Joe, how are you, you cheating SOB? You know you rigged. I can't even tell you how many games. Big bag of money, Everyone's cheating, and you know it. Kentucky sucks. Next guest.
Are you happy?
Yes, I really
am. See?
I really, really am. See, now there's a million. See, now I now is when I said I wish I knew that I was interviewing Bob Knight, because now I've got 700 questions popping up in my mind. I didn't even get them on Patino coming back to Iona. He hates Patino. He hates Kentucky.
I was surprised that you never took the opportunity to take shots at Kentucky, because I'm sure that's something Bob Knight could still get behind.
He probably could have. But again, I wasn't prepared. I was flabbergasted. It takes an awful lot to lock my jaw. I just did an interview with full-on jaw lock. I can't believe that just happened.
Gee, you hit it so well.
Maybe now's the time to spin the wheel of topics.
Honestly, in the history of interviews we've done, what, do I get a D plus on that or a C minus? That was terrible, was it not?
No. I think you handled it with a level of dignity that frankly surprised me.
Dignity for him or me?
I literally thought about 3 minutes in you were going to propose marriage.
See, but once, Ray, once Luke Recker transferred, that was a breaking point. Do you even know who Luke Recker is, Ray?
Oh, don't insult me.
Okay, well, look, I mean, it's
you're talking to a man who is older than Knight.
Oh, no, you're not. You're not older than Bob Knight. But, I mean, Luke Recker is an inside baseball Indiana kind of player. He never had a lick of NBA career. Like, if you didn't know who Luke Recker was, I would not have given you a demerit as a sports entity, sir.
Oh, no, but I follow college basketball, too. I knew all about Luke Recker. I mean, not to your extent, because you're frankly crazy, but no, I knew the record thing.
Luke was there when Luke, I mean, oh man, now you're just, oh, now I'm going down the road. Are you ready? There's nothing to talk about. Here we go. So Luke Recker was a kid who committed to Bloomington when he was in like eighth grade. It was like Damon Bailey part two Electric Boogaloo, Caucasian white boy who could hoop it up and was really supposed to be like a savior of Indiana basketball. At least that's how it was pronounced. No one wanted to be a Hoosier more than Luke Recker. And after 1 year of Knight, he couldn't stand Knight anymore, and he transferred to Iowa. That was like the canary in the cage. That's when we knew that Bob Knight his days were numbered. Because like when you start chasing away other Indiana zealots and true believers, you're in an awful lot of trouble. Like it would have been like, oh, so Bill Walsh is now chasing away quarterbacks? Like that just, something's wrong. And you knew something was wrong. And then I'll tell you what, this is taking it to a level it doesn't need to go to, but it's my 45th birthday and I'll cry if I want to. So Luke Recker was driving with his girlfriend in Colorado. They got into a savagely horrific car accident, which left her paralyzed. Bob Knight never called, never reached out to Recker after the fact. Never, never, never reached out. Oh, no, this was in between, like, Recker's decision to transfer. And, like, he reached out to Knight, and Knight never even called him back. And that, man, it was a, oh, I don't even know if I'm remembering it right. It was a blur. I was high for most of college. Yeah, I'll
and
think
in a weird and, a, and in a weird example of the circle of life, you're about to be that now.
I tell you what, I'm going to save that for next week in quarantine. This next week on Quarantine Radio, we'll spark it up. This week, my lovely wife Jillian's about to make me another cocktail. Thank you, honey.
You're welcome, darling.
Really appreciate that. And like any good Manhattan, she's got the really good cherries in here. The really good black cherries. Mm-hmm.
So you go Manhattan, huh? You're a Manhattan guy?
I'm a Manhattan guy. I'm brown liquor, booze. It's got to be whiskey or bourbon pretty much. And I'd rather have a Manhattan than an old-fashioned any day.
I'm with you on that because it's a little too sugary in the old-fashioned.
I'm more of a savory cocktail than a sweet cocktail guy.
So am I. I like a bitter cocktail. But honestly, when it comes to a Manhattan, I think I'd rather just drink the bourbon.
Well, it depends on what bourbon we're talking about, right?
Yeah, now, I suppose that's true.
Do you go neat or do you go on a rocks?
I like a limited. I'm a limited rock guy. Like I like 1 to 3 ice cubes depending on the quantity of liquor.
Coming up next, UA Blob's going to join us here for my 46th birthday. It's going to be phenomenal. You're going to love it. We're going to do – I'll tell you what. You get me A.J. Moye for my 50th, that'd be phenomenal. By the way, that means another 5 years of me on the air, so suffer, everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hell.
All right, spin the damn wheel. Get us out of here.
Okay, hold on. I have to run over. Nah, let me grab it.
It's right here, Lucas.
So wait a minute. Are you telling me that that's a wheel sound effect? It's not an actual wheel being spun
and
we're picking topics out of
it,
like a fishbowl?
Did you notice that there was a delay? You asked for it, so I sprinted over real quick, ran back, turned my mic on.
Well, before Lucas reads this one, this is very fitting because Kolsky and Damon, both your wives are in the room, right?
Well, no.
Oh, boy. Joey had to go back inside, unfortunately.
Oh, she would have enjoyed this one. Ray, is your wife present? You don't want to answer that. You don't want to answer that. Go ahead, Luke. Read the question, please.
What is your first, your worst first date ever?
Ooh.
I honestly thought my worst first date ever was the one I had with my wife.
Tell us about it.
That's what she said.
No. So, I'm dead serious. So, here's what worked. My dad had just passed away.
Oof.
And I came home to San Francisco after my dad passed away. And, like, I texted this girl. Here she comes, by the way. Oh, and she made me a chocolate chip cookie for my birthday. Oh, my God. I love you, honey. You're the best. They want to know how we met.
Are you going to tell the real story?
Yeah, I'm going to tell the real story. So I was saying that I thought it was the worst first date ever because I even remember myself like ixnay on the dead dadinye. Like I thought, like, you know, she's like, so how you been? What have you been up to? I said, well, I just got back from Florida. I had to bury my dad. And, you know, I don't mean to like bring you down, but that's what happened. And it was a big moment in life and all that stuff. And like I thought it was a disaster. Meanwhile, like you heard in the movie, Back to the Future, the Florence Nightingale effect was happening. Honey, this is where you come in. You bought it hook, line, and sinker, right?
I was shocked that you were a real person with real feelings.
Shocked he was a real person with real feelings. How about that? Ray, have you ever been accused of being a real person with real feelings?
No, but then again, I never let a date playing the dead dad card either.
So once I found out that it worked, I thought I should have killed him off like several times in college. I could have scored so often. Like I had no idea that that was the magic move. So the last woman I actually got to use the father story on was the one I married. So I don't know if that means I made it or I blew it. Honey, what do you think? How do you feel about it?
I think you lucked out.
There's no doubt about that. There's absolutely no doubt about
it. Yeah, I think we're all with Jillian on this one.
Yeah, you way overclubbed.
No, there is no doubt. I feel so naked and exposed right now. Oh my God! So what's spin the wheel again? Oh my God! Get me out of here.
A good story for this.
Yeah, wait,
I wish I had
two?
A.
We
a
have
bad
to hear
first
Ray's.
Date.
We have
oh,
Ray,
to
hear
Ray. Your first date. Worst first date.
Soft hop. I got basically dragooned into going out when I didn't want to, and I didn't hide my displeasure, and it ended badly. But it did end early. And I did find $40 on the gym floor. So it was fun.
Kolsky, what's the most bumble you've ever been through?
God, I don't know. I don't feel like I mean, look, I've had plenty of mediocre dates.
Well, and
but
here's
I don't
the thing.
Feel...
Like, I need to can we share with, like, your wife is awesome, and you've been with her for a very, very long time.
Actually, that's not true, although that's a common misconception.
What?
I can explain why Damon thinks that. My wife and I have known each other since, gosh, middle school.
See, I knew that. I thought that
right.
You've been dating, like, since middle school.
Exactly. So a lot of people make that mistake. But no, we were friends from middle school until just a few years ago when we started dating. So it's a relatively new relationship, and I had plenty of bad dates in between, I promise, but none of them stand out in my mind as, like, horrific. I don't have any good stories, unfortunately. My bad dates historically were more just like, so you want to do something after dinner? No, I'm good.
I've always said I never had trouble starting the game. It's just in the seventh inning I blow it, and then I never had a Rob Nen. I never was able to turn around to the closer to get it done.
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have said a Bobby Jenks, but, you know, it just depends on who your favorite World Series winner is, I suppose.
It's not a White Sox, never. Okay, so we're either in the middle of the best hour of radio or the worst hour of radio of my career. We have not decided yet, but please feel free to call in and weigh in. If you're wondering why we haven't gone to any calls, I think it's because we don't have any. I don't know if we do or don't. I haven't given the phone number out once today, so I'll do it right now. 3.5 hours into the show. 888-957-9570. Worst first date, Bob Knight interview, review, whatever. We're all naked and exposed this afternoon on 95.7 The Game. Make sure you download the radio.com app. Favorite the station, 95.7 The Game. You know the rest. Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. Cocktail hour is happening. Dealer's choice. Hopefully you're quarantined and joining us. Damon Ratto and Kolsky. My big ice cube has broken into something that is clinky clinky now. I'm going to use it on the air for clinky clinky demonstration.
That's wonderful. Somebody asked what the Venezuelan rum I was drinking was, and I'm working on sourcing that because all I know is my friend who is Venezuelan and lives in Venezuela. Shout out to Emiliana Duarte, who's been doing the Lord's work down there, which people desperately need as a member of the media for a long time before this outbreak, and I hope she's okay. Anyway, she gave it to me. It's a gift, and it's the most incredible thing I've ever tasted, but I know very well I can't afford it. So I just occasionally enjoy a glass for a special occasion, and I will figure out what it is in a second. I just have to have someone inside the house look at the bottle.
Somebody in the text line's like, hey, Damon, after Bob Knight and Charlie Sheen, that's pretty much the career, right? Mike in Mountain View. Yeah, that's about it. It's about it. We also had Star-Lord, who I did believe,
do believe
won the celebrity contest. But, yeah, I mean, had Bob Knight called in during the celebrity contest, we all know which way my vote probably would have gone.
Probably. That's nice you to say probably.
Yeah, maybe, maybe not. You can never really tell for sure.
Ray, who's the one guy that we could get on the air that would make you, like, verklempt, like I just got with Bob Knight? Who's the
Winston Churchill?
Okay, so by the way,
that would be a good get.
It'd be a great get
if ever in London the Churchill War Room is more interesting than Buckingham Palace. It's more interesting than I am a big Winston Churchill guy. All of a sudden, World War II is back on the show. Bob Knight recommending World War II books. Winston Churchill. I like it. By the way, my son looks a lot like Winston Churchill.
Most babies, I think, look a lot.
The cigar really sets him apart.
Yeah, and the three-piece tweed suit, no doubt. No doubt. So,
Ray, I tried calling him, but the Brooklyn lady answered again, yelling at me to stop calling, so my apologies.
I'm going to be honest with you. You're calling the Brooklyn lady for your own nefarious and perverted needs.
Like, that's too far.
No, not really.
All I can tell you is Nash.
We know your background.
Nash Lucas, unbelievable. I mean, seriously, in my entire radio career, which is almost going on like 15 years here, I don't think I've ever been speechless, which is not something you want a host to be.
Happy birthday.
My wife is like, oh, my God. She, like, even Jillian's like, wow, I just watched somebody like pull your pants down and moon you. Like,
even I was nervous back here. Ask Lucas. I was freaking out for you.
First of all, I thought you guys were like pulling one on me. And then when I heard how terrible the interview began, I knew it was night. I'm serious. I knew it was night because that thing got off the ground as slowly as possible. And that is so who he is right now.
What was your favorite part of the interview? Me and Luke have ours.
When he dodged my best player question, because he's got an answer.
Yeah.
He's got an answer. And for a guy who's never going to coach again, not a single minute of his life, he still didn't want to give up the goat as to who his best player was. Like, forever a coach. You know what I mean?
Well, there's no benefit to it at this point. I mean, it's, you know,
By the way, that's my kid ripping up notes, by the way, if you can hear that in the background.
I should have done that at 2:01. But, no, I mean, he's gone through his entire life making a basketball program that he thought was egalitarian, where he didn't have favorites. And I think the closest you might get would have been Landon Turner, just because of what happened to his career. But I don't think he'd even give that up, because I honestly believe that he thinks this is the way you go out. You don't let anybody see the things that you've tried to hide in your professional career.
No,
and picking a favorite is absolutely that. Yeah,
not with a bang, but with a whisper.
All around us, right? Everywhere you look these days.
Seriously. By the way, I have an answer. Per my wife's photograph of the beautiful bottle, it is Santa Teresa 1796 Ron Antiguo de Solera Rum. I took the liberty of looking it up on the Master of Malt website, where it says, a superb single estate Venezuelan rum, Santa Teresa 1796, is made using the Solera method. The rums in the blend are aged for between 5 and 35 years, resulting in a smooth, dry, and balanced spirit that is perfect for sipping or serving in an old-fashioned.
Outstanding. So it was at Hobson's Choice that I found out that rum in the right barrel can totally take on whiskey properties.
It has like it has an oak sort of finish to it that is just...
Delish. All right.
Yep.
So it's What If Wednesday. I was told that we have 3 What If Wednesday questions, and we've only gotten to one of them. So, all right. Nash, Lucas, since you guys are the official stars of today's show with that Bob Knight booking on my birthday, I turn it back to you. Oh. What if?
This is just a musical bed. Okay. So we all know the story. Michael Jordan went to play baseball, took a year off from basketball in 94. Wasn't great. Played double-A for the Birmingham Barons. Hit .202 with 3 home runs, actually, which, you know, is respectable.
3 more than we're going to hit.
That's exactly right. He came back to win 3 more titles with the Bulls after that. My question, what if Michael Jordan hit .300 in the minors and eventually made his way into Major League Baseball?
No one ever talks about Bo Jackson again. That's the first thing that popped in my mind. No one.
That's a great point.
Yeah, 2-sport athlete? No. If Michael Jordan had become the definitive lifetime 2-sport athlete, that's it. It would have been over. You would have been like Bo Jackson playing a little bit of football. For a guy to be able to play basketball at that level and then turn into a 300 hitter, I mean, you got to be Tony Gwynn. You got to be Ted Williams to hit 300. So, I mean, to really, truly be a master of the 2 hardest things to be in sports, it would have been ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, the easiest answer is he'd be the greatest 2-sport athlete we've ever seen by a long shot, because we didn't really get the chance to see Bo as the football player he might have become because of the injury. Now, if he'd had a 8, 9, 10-year career of doing the things he did in a couple seasons and had also been an all-star baseball player, then maybe you have an interesting conversation. But really, for the most part, 2-sport athletes were usually 1-sport athletes who were also really good at the other thing, but not good enough to be a star. I mean, Dion was maybe the greatest defensive back ever, but he's like a Billy Hamilton in baseball, you know?
Oh, he was a little bit better than Billy Hamilton. He really was. Dion had a baseball career there for just a minute. It was mostly running, though, wasn't it?
Well, it was mostly a runner.
Right. It was based on speed, but I got to look this up.
I'm looking at his stats now. He did have a 3-year stretch, 92 to 94, where he hit .287.
I was about to say, I remember him being like a .280 hitter, which is legit.
Yeah, so for 3 years, that's true. He was. I should have given more respect to Dion.
Ray, what I love most about you is how uncomfortable...
It's the fact that I'm near death.
Is how I can make you so uncomfortable with the phrase, what I love most about you. But what I love most about you is that you do love sports, whether you want to admit it or not. Who is the last athlete to truly titillate you on some sort of a personal curiosity level?
Define your terms.
Okay, so none of it's sexual.
So, just an
athlete that had you been a pipe fitter or a plumber or an insurance adjuster, you still would have paid attention to. Who was the one guy that actually captured your imagination or the last guy to do that? Besides UA Blob.
God, you are just going to be insufferable tonight.
Go Hoosiers.
Yeah. Your wife's in for one of the worst nights of her life.
Wait until I try to wear the pinstripes to bed for the lovemaking that usually comes on a birthday.
First of all,
good luck.
That's only reserved for Christmas Eve. And now that you have a child, that's out too.
You're right. Can I tell you what my wife wore for me on our wedding night?
Maybe you should ask her that.
Honey,
hazmat suit and a welding helmet.
So she wore an Indiana footy onesie.
Oh, my goodness.
An Indiana footy onesie, like a baby would wear.
That's a lady who knows her man.
Yes, it is. Yes, it truly
is. That's nauseating on every level.
I mean, it is also nauseating.
You're not dodging this question, Ray Ratto. Who's the last person to capture your imagination?
Probably Elgin Baylor.
I love that answer.
Why?
Because he was the first guy I ever saw in person who could jump in ways that I thought humans couldn't jump. Before his knees were ravaged, he could play today and he could get 35 minutes a night and put up big numbers and be an all-star. That's how good he was.
Yeah, Elgin Baylor is one of those dudes that you look back on highlights of, and he stands out as one of the guys who athletically would have been perfectly at home in the post-Michael Jordan NBA game.
By the our intern from a summer ago, Spencer Abel.
Oh, Spencer.
Who went to Indiana, has just texted me. He's like, how the hell did you get Bobby Knight on your show?
What's Spencer up to nowadays?
Yeah, I don't even know. Spencer, what are you up to? I hope
call
you're
in.
Yeah, give us a call,
don't
Spencer.
Be a
stranger, let's not get carried away, guys.
No, yeah, you're right. Spencer does not need airtime. But I don't know. I don't know how we got Bob Knight. I have no idea how that happened.
It's all Nash.
Nash. Lucas. Nash and Lucas. Not only do you both not get raises next week,
I continue coming into work too?
100%.
Thank you so much.
100%.
Maybe we'll get sandwiches again. It took a pandemic to get that.
It only cost them their souls, but that's okay.
How about this? What pizza do you want tomorrow? I'm going to send you guys a pizza in the studio.
Damon, we'll take anything. You don't have to do that for us, but we would take anything.
It's got to be for
okay,
my boys.
Okay, gravel and bathroom caulking. That's what you get.
Absolutely.
I'm not greedy.
We got a ton of caulking for you and some bathroom gravel and grout. Good grout work. All right, spin the wheel. It's time to spin the wheel.
Hold on. Nash, run and grab it real quick, please.
Oh, no. I keep on screwing you guys over with the spin.
How about throwing it across the room. That's okay.
All right, keep the wheel in the studio.
They wanted to do this spin the wheel thing, and they can't keep the equipment near them?
You've seen how small our studio is, and we're practicing social distancing.
Yeah, we're not allowed.
Oh, 6 feet.
But there's also nobody else in there, so you could stand next to each other, and you're practicing social distancing.
Basically, the both of you are quarantined together. You're adorable. You're my favorite couple.
Well, we've been informed to sit in different studios, so I'm in your guys' studio right now.
Are you ready?
I'm spinning.
Oh, that was a big last tick. What did it land on?
The last tick that everyone gets means the whole thing is malarkey.
Okay.
Whatever do you mean, Damon?
Here's a bit. I have a bit of a philosophical question. That's what this one landed on.
Ooh.
Do you believe in ghosts?
You know, I was a philosophy minor at Pomona College. Shout out. I not believe in ghosts. Also, not a philosophical question.
Are you sure?
Yeah. It's a question for crazy ladies. What do you mean a philosophical question? No, there are no ghosts. There might not even be an afterlife. If there's no afterlife, how can there be ghosts?
You can only ask that question if you own 9 or more cats.
Speaking of, are you excited to watch Tiger King tonight?
You know, I'm not going to lie to you, Lucas. I am ambivalent, deeply ambivalent about watching Tiger King. I took Ray's warnings about animal cruelty very seriously, and yet pretty much everyone I know is talking about how addictive this show is, so I don't see how I can avoid it.
Ray,
go ahead. Everyone keeps on saying Tiger King, Tiger King, Tiger King, and I thought we should confuse Ray and have him watch The Lion King, and we'll watch Tiger King, and Ray can come in tomorrow and be like, Hakuna Matata! And the rest of us will be like, how about that crazy guy whipping tigers, huh?
Ray, have you started it yet, Ray?
Tiger King? I watched a little bit of it, and it lost me almost instantly.
Really?
Sorry, Joe Exotic strikes me as exactly the kind of guy that I would emigrate to avoid.
Wait a minute, there's a guy in it named Joe Exotic?
Yeah, and the fact that he collects and shows off his big cat collection is maybe the least crazy thing about him.
Yeah, and, I mean, when I call people
creepy... That is
creepy,
his birth name?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. When I call people creepy, I'm doing them a disservice if you believe that there is an ultimate standard for creepy, because this guy is it. I mean, he makes an iguana's flesh crawl.
I am now either more or less excited. I can't tell which.
Yeah, I don't know either. Who's more washed... Cam Newton at 31 or me at 45?
Wow. Newton could get another contract.
Oh, what are you saying? I can't? Whoa!
I don't know. I feel like Damon's got a couple contracts left in.
Oh!
I just wanted to hear your reaction because it's your birthday and you should be miserable.
Ray from the top rope.
Totally. Full Chief Wahoo elbow right off the top rope.
Should we spin it one more time?
Oh, please.
Hopefully
whatever it takes.
It's been going so well. What do you need 5 minutes to go to it?
No. Would you rather listen to my son bang on a radiator? Because that's also happening. Hold on, let me bring you closer to the son banging on the radiator.
Please.
Jack, do it.
Nice.
Nice rhythm.
Spin the damn wheel as fast as humanly possible.
Go ahead,
we're
Kolsky.
Doing a lot of banging on things around the Kolsky Harmon household as well. Does he use a utensil or is that straight up hand banging?
Oh no, we're straight bongos over here.
Okay, right on. Now Griffin has.
I wouldn't call him a drummer as much as I call him a percussionist.
No, same thing over here. Absolutely, we even have some bongos and a baby djembe that he's been banging on, but also. He has taken to – do you happen to have any of those sort of floor mat things that fit together like puzzle pieces?
No, we only have hardwood floors because we want our child's forehead to be bruised.
Nice.
Which
well,
it is.
Don't worry. I can tell you, even when you have the floor tiles, he will still bang his head on the hardwood floor. I can confirm that. But the floor tiles have these like edges to them that are styrofoam, and he likes to rip them up. And he plays the drums on various objects with those styrofoam like sticks basically. So he is. But to be fair, Griffin's a couple months ahead, so I'm sure Jack will be up on stick work soon enough.
There is something beautiful about watching your son just destroy your entire house.
Oh yeah, really? No, it's full circle.
It really is. It is. It is kind of amazing. All right, spin the damn wheel. Get us the hell out of it. Well, how much time we have left? Ray, I feel like you. I'm counting down the time till the show ends.
6 minutes.
12 minutes. No, 6 minutes.
7 minutes.
Oh. 3 minutes.
Okay. You can have one superpower. What would it be?
Invisibility. That's easy.
Definitely Ray's answer, too.
Invisibility. You can find out anything you want anytime you need to. It's either invisibility or teleportation. But the only way that teleportation works is if you can grab the hand of the person that you're with and bring them with you. Because who wants to teleport everywhere alone? By the way, I've thought of this.
I obviously agree with your teleportation take. That's a good one. You can't, if all you can do is teleport yourself around, waste of a superpower. However, I'm a guy who goes flight over invisibility.
Just for the gift of flight?
Yes.
Damon,
just let me fly around, man.
I have a question.
I just want to fly around.
Does your teleportation include time travel, or is it just current time?
Oh, that's an interesting wrinkle.
No, those are two separate things.
Okay,
exactly.
I wanted to clarify.
I feel like I need to amend my answer now, because
time travel.
It would correct me from making every mistake I ever made, and it would have led me to telling the dead dad story, like, early in high school. Sorry, honey.
You're supposed to wait till she leaves the room to tell her.
I know. She's seeing all my hold cards.
I have a follow-up to this, but Ray, I want to know your superpower.
Oh, searing heat vision.
Huh.
Please go on.
Okay.
Anytime I look at somebody I don't like, they end up being a charcoal briquette.
When's the last time you made a new friend, Ray?
See, I think I was in utero then.
Killed
friends are overrated.
Wow. Ray, I thought
we were
friends.
The thing about Ray is, like, it's exactly that attitude that earns him all the friends, new and old,
so
that
true.
He pretends not to have.
So true. If you could time travel, would you rather go to the past, any specific year, or would you want to see what the future's like?
Oh, no. If you are only offered one direction in the Wonka-vator,
yep.
you have to go forward to know... what's coming, right?
I mean, let's say up until a couple weeks ago, going back is pretty much going worse. You know what I mean? Like, sure, if you jump to exactly the right time, good things did happen in the past. But, like, the world has steadily been improving since the dawn of time.
Yeah, it's made a real leap forward this year, hasn't it?
Yeah,
well, that's why I say up until the last 3 weeks anyway. So the future is a little dodgy now, but up until the last few weeks, you'd always want to go forward because things are going to get cooler and more interesting and hopefully better.
Yeah, the one caveat is, what if you go too far and there's nothing here? And you can't get back?
Well, you learned an important lesson, didn't you?
Yeah, you did. Hey, so...
Handling
the
time machine
list,
better than you're handling the wheel of topics.
I think it's going well.
On the list of events that you wish you could have covered, which was supposed to be a topic on today's show but never happened because we got lost in today's show, whatever the hell that was.
I mean, today's show made perfect sense for the first 3 hours.
It did. Here is my... So, by the way, do we just go cocktails every night at 5 now?
Perhaps.
Cocktails
I don't think it was the cocktails that derailed us so much as the Bob Knight.
You're right. So here's the fourth thing that I had listed on my what events you wish you could have covered. Can I give them to you in order?
Please.
Team USA in Lake Placid. Number two is to have been at Madison Square Garden. By the way, I've been drinking for a while, more than you have. To have been at Madison Square Garden for Ali Frazier, March 8th, 1971. I would have wore a pimp fedora and a full-length fur coat. Jesse Owens, Berlin, 1936. Ray, did I get the year right?
You did, which is more than could be said for the caller yesterday.
Thank you. And then number four is I wish I had been at Bob Knight's 1984 Olympic tryouts in Bloomington, where the last guy he threw the hell out of practice was Charles Barkley, and he didn't throw Charles Barkley out of practice for any other reason than he made fun of Bob Knight's shoes. He was like, "Hey,
Bob
coach,
Knight,
you gonna wear those shoes to the Olympics?" Cut.
That's one of the most on brand stories for both guys involved that I could ever imagine.
100%. It's the it's honest because it all lines up with the truth so much. All right, so Lucas just sent me a text that we have 3 more minutes of this show. What do you want to do in the last 3 minutes of the show? Can we talk about...
prepare to leave.
Tillman Fertitta. Tillman Fertitta furloughed 40,000 employees. This guy has been called the world's richest restaurateur. He owns Landry's, which is essentially Bubba Gump Shrimp, Del Frisco's, and a lot of regional chain restaurants that you could think of. This guy has made so much money in his life, and he refuses to take on minority owners. I would like to give Tillman Fertitta the biggest jackass of the day award on the way out the door, if you don't mind. Because if you are a billionaire laying off 40,000 people right now, you might be the biggest scumbag in the world.
Maybe.
Discuss.
Well, here's the thing. And I'm not sympathetic to him because, frankly, there's a special place in hell for billionaires, and it's a place where millionaires are standing on them. But he's not only taking a beating on the basketball end, he's not only taking a beating with the China deal that his general manager buried for him.
Casinos.
He's also a player in Vegas, and Vegas is getting set on fire.
Right, but all he owns is the golden nugget.
That's it. No, he's got other gaming interests, not necessarily in Vegas, but he's a player there. That's the reason he could walk in and pay cash to Leslie Alexander, who himself was a billionaire. I think there is a point where billionaires learn that all other people are expendable and behave like it. So nothing good should happen to him. But I get his sense of panic because he's one of those few billionaires who literally could go broke because he's picked three different things that are losing money at a breakneck rate faster than any place else.
Yeah. I mean, he has completely aligned himself with the wrong positions to be in right now.
You know what?
No doubt.
He's on Satan's bowling team. Don't get me wrong.
I know you're not really defending him, Ray, but I would just like to make a point that I hope drives home a point we've been trying to make about what exactly a billionaire is for a few weeks on this show. Tillman Fertitta's reported net worth is $4.4 billion, okay? If instead of furloughing those 40,000 workers, he gave them each of them $40,000, that would cost $1.6 billion.
That's
so about a third of his net worth.
And he won't take on minority investors because he's got too much pride to do that.
Yeah,
because that's not how it's done in Texas.
Right. It wouldn't affect his lifestyle. It wouldn't affect his family.
Right. Either way, you go to sleep in a mansion, you have an infinity pool in your backyard, no matter what.
Except that's how those maniacs keep score. It drives I'll say this very quickly. It drives NHL owners crazy that Hasso Plattner is the 89th richest man in the world because he never goes to league meetings because he doesn't have to. And it makes them all nuts. It's how those lunatics keep score. And why, when all this is over, America will be a better place if there are no more billionaires at all.
And on that note, thank you so much for tuning in today to Robert Montgomery Knight, Howard Beck, and Charles Davis. Lucas and Nash, an incredible day for the both of you. Cheers and bravo. Let's make this really uncomfortable at the end. Hey, Matt. Matt?
He's gone.
Did everyone hang up already? I was going to be like, hey, Matt, do you love me? I love you, too. Hey, Ray, do you love me? I love you, too.
You can ask Nash and I. We love you.
We love you, Damon.
Love you both. And on that note, sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Leggings is going to get there. Oh, she does it again. Three titles in 3 days. Off past Vegas gold for the lap of honor. Victorious.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.